This in just a minute, and as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And those of you who know the game well will recognize that we have three of our regular players of the game, and we welcome back as our guest someone who played it with great success a few weeks back, Martin Jarvis. And, as usual, I will ask our four panelists if they can speak at different times, we hope, on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And let us begin the show with Kenneth Williams, and who better? And the subject, Kenneth, is taking command. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
This is something that has indeed happened to me. I was a sergeant in Singapore and had to parade some girls in the wax. And they had a sergeant major, but she was a bit effeminate, so I was chosen to do the orders, you see. Oh, by the left! Quick march. Well, you're supposed to wait when you say halt until the left foot is passing the other one. Well, I failed. And there was a terrible kerfuffle. You know, they all sort of stumbled and fell about, you see.
Derek Nemo challenge.
Agitation.
Yes, I agree, Derek. It's some tough and, I think, rather mean challenge because it was a lovely story, but
give it back to Ken.
No, it was a correct challenge. So within the game, you are correct. Therefore, you gain a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of taking command, and you start now.
As Nero said, you can't change the course of history by turning pictures to the wall. In other words, you must take command. Think of the great soldiers of our past, the airmen, the sailors. They have taken command, and that is why we are the nation that we are. Ladies and gentlemen, I plead for leadership.
Martin Jarvis has challenged you.
He said, we are the nation that we are. Isn't that repetition?
Yes, a repetition of we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Martin, I'll listen to it. So, with 11 seconds to go, you've got a point, and the subject, taking command, starting now.
Taking command is something that American actors do extremely well in war movies. I once had the good fortune to be in a film with Stuart Whitman, that excellent performer, and he said to me one day, Martin,
Well, when Ian Messenger blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and it was our guest, Martin Jarvis, who's in the lead at the end of the first round. Derek, will you take the next round? The subject is barley. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
Fields of barley and rye. I seem to have heard that already today somehow. But barley is a very nice long grass. It is grown in fields and used to make malt with.
Martin Jarvis, challenge.
Was there a little hesitation on malt, I ask myself?
No, there wasn't. There was a repetition of fields, but nobody picked it up.
Oh, golly.
So Derek still has the subject, and there are 49 seconds on barley, starting now.
Barley, if you read Opie's excellent book, The Law and Language of School Children, you will find that barley is a truce word used by the smaller members of the community, like thanes or thanites. It comes from parler, the French, to speak, the word same used in Parliament, for instance. Now, if you seek sanctuary by saying barley in a rather rough, established kind of concoction that little people get up to...
Peter Jones has challenged.
He's becoming incoherent. You can't speak in a concoction.
So are you challenging for deviation?
Yes,
I think if you speak in a concoction, it is incoherent, and
I would
call that...
I'd like to avoid that.
That I would interpret as deviation. And Peter, you have a point, and the subject of barley, and there are 26 seconds starting now.
Malted and then toasted in combination with hops, you can make ale or beer. And it's really an excellent drink. It's extremely expensive now, more so even than it was yesterday. However, with the right kind of water added, it makes a reasonably nourishing...
Derek Nemo challenge.
Agitation.
Yes, I agree, Derek. 5 seconds for you on barley, starting now.
The cock may crow, the day may door, I will taste the barley.
Martin Jarvis challenged.
He's still incoherent.
Nicholas Parsons was educated in Scotland and understands the diet.
No, he was in Scotland. That's all.
But I did benefit from some of the excellent education that they administer up there. And as I was up there, and I do recognise that he was speaking reasonably well, but with a rather bad accent, I will say that, Derek, you were not incoherent to a Scot. So there are 2 seconds left on barley starting...
Rabbi Burns, will he brood the barley tour?
needless to remind you that Derek Nimmer got a number of points in that round, including from the speaking, the whistle went, and he's now in the lead at the end of the round. Peter Jones, will you take the next round? The subject is second-hand cars. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I personally haven't been very lucky with second-hand cars. I've owned three in all, and one of them, the accelerator...
Martin Jarvis, challenged.
One of them, a bit of a hesitation.
Yes, I think there was hesitation enough within the game to be guilty, and therefore 51 seconds are left for you to take over this subject. Second-hand cars, Martin, starting now.
I've been fearfully lucky with second-hand cars, particularly one which was a Daimler Sovereign that I bought for £300. And the reason why I was so fortunate was that I ran out of petrol on the M1. And so I took advantage of the Automobile Association's special relay scheme. I rang them up, they put the car on the back of a truck and drove me home, thereby saving a good deal of money on petrol.
And Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of petrol.
Yes, you repeated the petrol before, unfortunately, Martin. So Peter has the subject back, and there are 28 seconds. Second-hand cars, Peter, starting now.
The accelerator jammed on the bottom of the car, and when I took it back and complained, they said, yes, well, this model, it does tend to do that, which I thought was rather poor sort of response.
Martin Jarvis challenged before you got that non-response from the audience. Martin, what was your challenge?
I thought there was a bit of a hesitation.
There was an awful lot of hesitation. Mm.
It is a mannerism. You're new to this game. Or new, new to me playing it with you, Martin. You have to make allowances for this characteristic of speech.
As I disallowed Derek's correct challenge on Peter there, it would only be fair to disallow your correct challenge, otherwise you get the points at Derek's advantage, you see. So Jones continues with second-hand cars, and there are 18 seconds left, Peter, starting now.
The other one actually exploded on the M4. And burnt to a cinder as I was approaching the get-off point at Chiswick. And the fire brigade came, and the police, and the potted plants that were in the...
Nimmer challenge.
He doesn't even got to the end of this anecdote.
He said he wanted to tell it because it was
it's
so funny.
It's a wonderful story about his accelerator. It's been total boredom for 35
years. It's never been an offence to be boring on this programme, otherwise you wouldn't have been here.
Well, well.
What he didn't establish was whether he got out of the car before he burned to a cinder.
Well, I know. I might have said you before, I thought, or something.
Right. Anyway, Derek, I agree with that challenge, and there are 5 seconds for you on second-hand cars starting now.
I had a 1936 Buick, which only did 8 miles a gallon. When I went to the filling station to have it petrol put into it, they said, please...
So Derek Nimmer was speaking then as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and has increased his lead at the end of that round. Martin Jarvis, will you take the next round? The subject is package deal holidays. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Hello, my name is Eddie Faker, and I would like you to fly on my People's Care line. I will take you to Miami in a package deal. When I heard this advertisement, I thought, marvellous, I'm going to take my family to America.
Derek Nimmer challenged.
Repetition of take.
Yes, you did say take more than once. You see, Freddie Laker said take my deal.
Freddie Faker, I think you said.
I never mentioned Freddie Laker. I said Eddie Faker. I don't know what you mean by Freddie Laker.
What I did say. All right, but you did repeat the word take, and there are 45 seconds for Derek on package deal holidays starting now.
I'm not really very frightened of flying, but I always feel that when you go to an airport, they should have something slightly more hopeful than the sign that greets you, which says terminal, because it does kill you under some kind of depression. And then you get onto your package deal holiday and fly away across the mountains, the Alps, and arrive eventually, say, in Greece. And the trouble with the package deal holiday is that you're surrounded by English, who are so terribly boring. The last people you want to see when you're going on Le Vacances, because you don't really care for them. At least I don't. So I'm not very fond of package deal holidays, even when put about by Eddie Faker, because I think they are rather boring, and sometimes...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A boring repetition of boring.
That's right, you mentioned boring before. And you see, he repeated don't, which wasn't picked up. I only mentioned it in case someone writes in. We don't need the letters.
We're looking for don'ts now, aren't
no,
we?
No, I'm listening for everything in the way that you're being so sharp this week. There are 8 seconds for you, Peter, on package deal holidays starting now.
They're arranged by travel agents in conjunction with the airlines, and the airlines are able...
Martin Jarvis.
I think he said airlines twice.
He did indeed.
There's an echo in this room.
Very rapidly. There are 3 seconds for you on package deal holidays, Martin, starting now.
On our package deal holiday, we flew to the Everglades...
So Martin Jarvis got a number of points in that round, including ones speaking as the whistle went, and he's now equal in second place with Peter Jones, who are 3 points behind our leader, who is still Derek Nimmo, and Kenneth Williams begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is Halley's Comet. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Halley's Comet is thus called because Halley looked through a telescope and saw it flashing through the sky and said, "Hello, I don't think anyone's ever seen this before. I'll call it after myself." Which was conceited, but still he got away with it, and everyone ever since has always referred to this meteor as being Halley's Comet.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Deviation's not true. Well, the real name is Halley's Comet. Not everyone is referred to as Halley. I'm a member of the Halley's Comet Society and have been for some 8 years. along with Patrick Moore, Harold Wilson, Lady Faulkner, they were all members of the Halley's Comet Society. The correct pronunciation is Halley, so my challenge is deviation because the pronunciation is wrong. Thank you very much.
But you challenged because you said everyone
has always called it Halley. And I said no.
That's the orchestra you're thinking about.
That's right.
So some people call it Halley and some people call it Halley. I tell you what I will do, because I think this is an interpretation of on pronunciation. Let's leave it to the wiser judgment and opinion of our audience. Now, if you agree with Derek's challenge, then you cheer for him. And if you disagree, you boo for Kenneth, and you all do it together now.
They don't want any part of it.
They don't want any part of it.
They want no part of any of these judges.
The chairman who makes his own decisions. That's what you're there for. Decide.
You've got to make up your mind, Nicholas.
We don't make up
your mind. He's squirming. You can see him. Squirming on that.
I entirely accept what Derek has said, but I think it would be a very mean challenge, and therefore I'm leaving the subject with you, Kenneth, and tell you that you have 33 seconds on Halley or Halley's Comet, starting now.
Well, Halley's Comet was first seen when he looked through this telescope, you see. And he said, "Hello."
Derek Nimmo.
Well, he's gone through this telescope and said, "Hello," twice.
Yes. So a repetition of large number of words which Derek picked up, and he has 28 seconds now to talk on Halley or Halley's Comet, starting now.
And this fellow, you see, looked through his telescope and said, "Hello."
Martin Jarvis challenge.
He's repeating exactly what Kenneth Williams has just said.
I know, but he hasn't said it before, so he can say it if he wishes.
Oh, I see.
So if you get the subject, you can repeat the same words if you wish.
But, Mr. Chairman, are you going to allow me to retain the rise out of... He's taken the rise. He's taken the rise out of me. You could hear that. It was an impersonation, wasn't it? That's not allowed under...
Well, I thought you were doing an impersonation of Halley or Halley.
Oh, I see.
And he was now impersonating you, impersonating Halley.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What he did pinch was your dialogue, which wasn't brilliant in the first place.
No, say that again.
So, Derek still has 25 seconds on Halley or Halley's Comet, starting now.
We members of the Halley's Comet Society are flying off to Sri Lanka.
Peter Jones' challenge.
He's mentioned the society before.
Not within the game.
Within the game, Peter.
No, that was when I was making my very long and lengthy and rather boring complaint. He wasn't actually in the game.
Oh, I see. I didn't know he'd made a complaint.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he's always making complaints. But as I thought it was very interesting for not only my audience, but also our listeners at home, I let him go on, because I'm always trying to be fair and generous. But and in following that precept, I say that I'm afraid it was a wrong challenge, Peter. And Derry keeps the subject and says there are 22 seconds left, starting now.
Patrick Moore, Lady Faulkner, and Harold Wilson are flying off in a 7-4 set to this island near India.
Martin Jarvis challenged.
There was hesitation when he was thinking about India.
The set, yes, after set. You're right, Martin. So you have 14 seconds on Halley's Comet or Halley's, whichever you want, starting now.
When I was at school, I had a friend called Philip Halley. He once came to tea with me, and he brought a little firework with him. It was called the Blazing Comet. And while my mother was in the kitchen, he put this little thing into the fire.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of little.
That's right, Peter. You are in with 3 seconds on this subject, starting now.
He said, "Come over here, Mrs. Hawley."
Martin Jarvis challenged.
There was a pause after he
said... No, there wasn't. Peter, you have 1.5 seconds on the subject, starting now.
And have a look at this interesting phenomenon.
So Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went. Derek Nimmo's still in the lead, 2 ahead of Peter Jones, who's 2 ahead of Martin Jarvis, and they're all a few ahead of Kenneth Williams. But he gives us such value, doesn't he? Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, avoiding a party. Will you tell us something about that in 60 seconds, starting now?
I suppose the sort of party one ought to avoid is the kind that if you're invited to it, it's a beer party and they lock the bathroom door, because that does tend to make things awfully uncomfortable. But Lord Mountbatten of Burma, when he was Viceroy of India, he was in fact having a very nice party at the Lutyens Palace designed for that particular office which he then occupied. And he had a band playing at the other end of the ballroom and liked the tune very much. And he sent the ADCO to find out what it was. And he came back and smartly saluted and said, "I shall remember your kisses, Your Excellency, when you have forgotten my name," which seemed to be rather bold and did surprise the gentleman that I was talking about a few moments ago. Other kinds of parties that I would like to avoid are invitations to Nicholas Parsons' 60th birthday.
Martin Jarvis is challenged.
That well, was long ago, so there's no possibility of being invited to it.
There were a lot of hesitations, and I thought it was terribly insulting.
Yes, but I'm afraid... Yes, please clap for the insults. But I can't give any points for that because it's not one of the rules of the game. So you were challenging for...
Well, there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, three, yes, indeed. Yes. There was a hesitation. And he needn't need to hesitate after what he said about me, too. Yes. There are nine seconds for avoiding a party with you, Martin, starting now.
One of the parties that I really would like to avoid would be at the Hawley Comet Society, because I think it's the most boring kinds of party that could possibly be.
Well, Martin Jarvis has now moved forward into second place, equal with Peter Jones, and they're still just behind Derek Nimmo. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. Now, the next subject is one word, and it is a clanfe pulgwin gilgogeri churin drobuhil clantisilio gogogoch. It is actually the name of a small village in Wales, and it is one long word. Do you want to write it down, Derek?
Could you just say it again, please? Clan?
Oh, he's already putting me through it. Clan fe pwyl gwyln gwyl gogerich chwyrin drobwyll clanti sili o go go goch. Do you want to know what it means in English?
It's a little village, little tree by a stream, by a bridge on a hill or something.
The Church of St. Mary in a hollow of white hazel near to a rapid whirlpool, and to St. Cilio's Church near to a red cave. That's the translation into English.
Nicholas, I have an appointment around midnight. Is there... May we get on with the game?
And certainly. After 30 minutes, the show will be over. After 60 seconds, this round will be over. Peter, you begin, and can you start now?
Well, you idiot, you've already gone over everything that I had to say about it, describing what it means in English. It is about the longest name of a railway station, as far as I know, in the British Isles. One of the shortest is Wem, where I actually come from, W-E-M.
Martin Jarvis challenged.
I think Wem is a deviation.
Why?
Because he's talking about Hlang Fair Thingamibob, or should be.
Well, he said that was the longest name for a railway station, in contrast to one of the shortest.
If he's going to claim deviation, he's got to be able to say what he's deviating from. What was the subject that he was deviating from?
He was deviating from Hlang Fair Pwyl Gwyn Gilgo Geri Quirin Drobe Will Yantisilio Gogo Goch.
And that, of course, was done from memory, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes. Peter, I'm sorry if I preempted some of the things you were going to say, but as I didn't say them while you were in your discussion on the subject, you can still repeat them if you wish. So that was an incorrect challenge for you, Peter. You have another point.
Yes.
38 and a half seconds, Peter, still on Clan Fair Pwyl Gwyn Gwyl Gwyn Gwyn Gwyn. Starting now.
I believe the railway station there has been closed for some years.
Kenneth William Chubb.
The station has already mentioned the railway station.
The railway station.
I did? I thought you mentioned the railway
station. No, you mentioned the railway station. I will be honest and say I didn't even know there was a railway station there.
Well, how could you have mentioned it?
You mentioned it. It must be a very long platform to get all that name all the way down.
Did you realize there was a railway station there?
Yes, it's closed, actually. It hasn't been there for some time.
Well, Peter wouldn't have mentioned it if it had been closed, would he?
Well, anyway, the point is you did mention it before, and Kenneth picked up the challenge, and he now has 35 seconds on Clamp Fairpool. We're going to go get it into my door after Clancy's silly or go. Start demon now.
Well, I was there, actually, on my way to Betty Coed. I stopped off in this place, and I must say, the enchanting atmosphere is as poetic as the land itself. Harry Seacombe, an old friend of mine, said to me, when you are there, pop in to Mrs. Jones, who does lovely scones, and jam, and butter, and all...
So, Kenneth Williams not only entertained us, but got a number of rounds in that point. He got a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's still in fourth place. But he's catching up on the others. It's Martin Jarvis' turn to begin. The subject, Martin, is the eighth wonder of the world. The eighth wonder of the world. The eighth wonder of the world. You look absolutely...
Why do you keep on repeating everything?
Because, I must explain to you, Martin is looking at me with utter amazement on his face.
No, the thing was, I thought I started too early, because I thought you were going to say, starting from now.
Yes, that's right, I will say in a moment.
Do that when he stops saying the eighth wonder of the world. It's taking rather a long time to get around to it, I do agree.
You have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Some people think the eighth wonder of the world is Kenneth Williams, and although I admire him very much, I believe the eighth wonder of the world to be my wife. When I look at my lovely little lady there...
When you look at her, you pause.
No, well, you see, she was there, and she wasn't there.
So, Derek got in on a challenge, which I know we know is hesitation. 47 seconds, Derek, on the eighth wonder of the world, starting now.
Well, it really would be rather a cheap joke to say that Nicholas Parsons was the eighth wonder of the world, especially as it's approaching his 60th birthday. But in fact, I will say, and I mean this quite sincerely, that I think the Sydney Opera House...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Because he obviously doesn't mean it sincerely.
A very clever challenge, Peter.
Thank you very
much.
He
keeps harping on this age thing. I mean, we've only got to look at him to know what age he is.
Can we put that to the audience?
I wouldn't dream of insulting you to the same extent, Derek. There are 37 seconds for you, Peter, on the eighth wonder of the world, starting now.
It's rather a gloomy observation, I suppose, but I would think that nuclear war is probably the eighth wonder because it provides the means for destroying the other seven, and indeed the world itself.
Derek Nimmer, challenge.
Deviation, I think all but one of the other seven have already been destroyed.
Well, he could still destroy
you
the remains.
You can't destroy something that's been destroyed, can
no.
you? The Colossus at Rhodes has gone, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon... gone. Only the pyramids remain.
Well, there we are. One of them remains. So
he said all.
Yes, he said all. And some of them still remain. The pyramids are still there. So it was not deviation.
Well, is it? Oh, all right then.
25 seconds with you, Peter, starting now.
How many seconds?
Quickly, 25.
Deviation.
Derek. Yes, I'm afraid that was a correct challenge. There are 23 seconds for you, Derek, on the eighth wonder of the world, starting now.
Striding across Sydney Harbour, there is this great opera house, once described to me as a flock of nuns in flight. And that's exactly what it looks like, the great white pinnacles reaching up into the sky, and inside these wonderful, dear, sophisticated Antipodeans. Somebody once described them to me. An Australian has a closed mind and an open heart.
So, it's a keen battle out in front between Derek Nimmer, Peter Jones and Martin Jarvis, and Kenneth, who's training a little, takes the next subject, which is the occult. Kenneth, can you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
It consists of poltergeists and ectoplasms manifesting themselves in all kinds of unlikely places. I had a horrible one do it all over me in a place in Glamorgan, and she was supposed to be a medium, or a medium rare. I thought the acrobatic meant steak when she said she was a medium rare.
Yes, so, Martin, you challenged?
Well, I think there were two mediums there.
There were.
Medium rare, because yes. It was title reference to steak, you see. Yes. Rare steak.
A very nice joke, but unfortunately you repeated them. Martin, you have the subject and 34 seconds, the occult, starting now.
Many people think that Kenneth Williams began the occult, but the occult is something that I first experienced when I worked with Christopher Lee in a film called Taste the Blood of Dracula. I was sent off the set for giggling at the girl who wore fangs. She had to say to me, "Kiss me, Jeremy," which is very difficult to do when you've got those teeth in. And I had to go outside and come back when I could control myself. And the gentleman I just mentioned, such a famous star, was very, very displeased with me.
And Derek Nimmo challenged.
Very, very.
Very, very displeased. So, Derek's got in cleverly with 2 seconds to go on the occult starting now.
Acme, palmistry, astrology, magic.
And that particular whistle not only brings the round to a close, but also the game to a close. We have no more time to play just a minute, so let me give you the final situation. Kenneth Williams finished in fourth place, as you might have guessed. Well, yeah. But it was what he contributed which was so valuable. But he wasn't very far behind our guest, Martin Jarvis, who was 2 points behind Peter Jones, who was 3 points behind this week's winner, Derek Nimmo. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again at the same time next week when we take the air and we play this delightfully ridiculous and unusual game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.